Running a learning business today requires attention to growing reach, generating revenue, and demonstrating real impact, all while navigating constant change and fierce competition for learners' time and money.
To help, we've curated a collection of free resources for learning business professionals. You'll find frameworks, briefings, and reports, webinars, and tools focused on strategy, portfolio design, pricing, marketing, and more, all created specifically for organizations that sell continuing education and professional development.
If you care about building a stronger, more sustainable learning business, visit leadinglearning.com/free resources.
That's leadinglearning.com/free resources for practical tools and strategic insight to help you grow your reach, revenue, and impact.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb. And this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Welcome to episode 212 of the Leading Learning Podcast, in which we're going to return to a tradition that we haven't featured on the podcast for a while. Namely, we're going to do an after-action review. And we want to do this for a few reasons. Firstly, this involves the launching of a new learning experience, specifically our recent Live Review 2019 online demonstration event. And we'll explain a little bit more about that in a moment. But a second reason is the type of event that Live Review was. It's a type of event that we've advocated for on this show many times, and it's a type of event we have run many times, and that's a virtual conference. So we wanted an opportunity to, again, do a review of that type of event and launching it. And then thirdly, we feel that after-action reviews are a practice that individual learning professionals and learning businesses should adopt. And so we want to model that. And of course, as part of that, we'll explain in just a minute a little more in detail about what an after-action review is. And we're also going to link in the show notes to a number of other after-action review episodes that we've done, so you have those as good models.
Well, and Jeff, you mentioned that we think after-action reviews are a good practice for individual learning professionals and for learning businesses. And that's because they represent a structured approach to reflection. And we know how important reflection is with learning. And that importance of reflection is what has prompted us to begin offering reflection questions to go along with each episode. And we have a couple to accompany this one. You can find those at leadinglearning.com/episode212. And the two questions are, one, what are some areas of your learning business in which it might be valuable to establish an after-action review practice? This could be for you personally. It could be for your learning business. It could be for your learners. And then second, is there an area where you might experiment with developing a low-risk, high-value product?
So we should probably now talk a little bit about what an after-action review is for listeners who haven't tuned in to these episodes before. If this is your first time hearing us do an after-action review, welcome to our little tradition here, and we hope we influence you. Now, an after-action review is something that was popularized by David Garvin, who was an academic who really focused on organizational learning. I believe he was at Harvard for many, many years before he passed away a couple of years ago. And he wrote about this as a practice used by the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army is very serious about learning. For folks who don't know it, they're always studying how to do it better, how to build the capacity of their troops. So we've kind of picked up on it and encouraged applying it to any organization that creates educational offerings. And there are basically four components to it.
Right. And the four components are, one, what did we set out to do? Two, what actually happened? Three, why is there a difference between those first two, if there happens to be a difference? And then four, what should we continue and what should we change?
So again, it's a great thing for an organization to use. You don't have to be the Army. You can be just a little business. It's also a great thing for individual lifelong learners. And we'll link also to an article about that on the Mission to Learn blog. But in any case, just asking these four simple questions and answering them as honestly and objectively as you can really open your eyes. So we're going to go through that pretty rapidly with our recent live review event, and start out with asking, you know, what did we set out to do with that event, which will involve, I guess, describing a little bit about what it actually was.
Yeah, so maybe let's start there in terms of what was live review. So it was a two-day entirely online event, aka a virtual conference. We held it October 29th and 30th, 2019, and we pitched it as an efficient, effective, and affordable way for attendees to get targeted demos of learning platforms from vendors focused on learning businesses and committed to serving organizations that market and sell lifelong learning, continuing education, and professional development. And we branded Live Review as an offshoot of Review My LMS, which is a site that we've begun running. It's a user-generated review site focused specifically on learning management systems that are a good fit for market-facing learning businesses. And so we kind of position Live Review as a value add to Review My LMS, a chance to actually not just read profile information about those systems and read user reviews, but to also get to see those systems in action.
Yeah, so it really was a logical extension of the value that that we offer through Review My LMS. So strategically, it seemed to be a very good fit. And you know, we didn't set out, this wasn't meant to be a significant revenue generator for us in and of itself. It could become more of one over time, but at least the way it's structured, it's probably never going to be a big revenue generator for us. But you know, what we have traditionally done as Tagoras, the parent company of Leading Learning, we've traditionally done a lot of high touch and therefore, you know, much higher cost technology consulting for selection of platforms. But in recent years, we've made it really kind of our mission to make our knowledge and our experience much more broadly available to scale that. And that's one of the reasons that that we started Review My LMS. It's the reason we've done things like our learning platform selection bootcamp. We make a lot of, you know, information and materials out there. And so now this event was really part of that mission to make LMS selection and learning platform selection just much more approachable by organizations who may not be able to hire a consultant, or even those that can. This can help, you know, give them more working knowledge for making sure that their engagement with that consultant is effective.
And we put this out there really as a minimum viable product. We had the idea and we executed on it fairly quickly, a pretty short timeline there. And the idea was, let's just sort of float it. Let's put out that product, see how the market responds. So without putting a whole lot of planning and effort and a lot of lead up into it, we went out with this offering. And I think it's also worth noting too that traditionally in what we do, we really like to focus on learning that results in change and something that helps learners perform their job better, or maybe even, you know, hopefully the goal of even transformational learning experiences. But we've talked before about inform, perform, and transform kind of along this sliding scale. And worth noting, at least for ourselves, is that this live review really was more on that inform end of the spectrum. You know, this really was just about kind of sharing information about what these systems are like.
Yeah, and if there's a higher level to it, it may be at that sort of transform level, kind of a meta level for this, because we've been on a mission for a long time to help organizations, help people, help vendors recognize that there is this whole third sector of education that serves the adult lifelong learning market. The needs of that sector are different, and that includes the technology needs. So, you know, on an ongoing basis, we're trying to really help people recognize that and to really, you know, make the third sector something that people appreciate and value consciously at a level that they haven't before. And so, you know, that's kind of a grand aim there. And it takes lots of small efforts, and live review is just another of those small efforts. Like you said, Salisa, it was, you know, Friday. The event itself for the individuals in it was really an Inform event. We hope it's part of a much larger transformation out there, and part of that transformation being that there are platform providers that are a good fit for learning businesses. And that would be a great time to mention one of our sponsor for this quarter at the Leading Learning Podcast. And this is Community Brands, which actually had two of its platforms, Crowd Wisdom and Freestone, participating in live review. And Community Brands provides a suite of cloud-based software for organizations to engage and grow relationships with the individuals they serve, including association management software, learning management software, job board software, and event management software. And Community Brands' award-winning Crowd Wisdom learning platform is among the world's best LMSs for corporate extended enterprise and is a leading LMS for association-driven professional education programs. Award-winning Freestone, Community Brands' live learning platform, is a leading platform for live learning event capture, webinars, webcast, and on-demand streaming. Find out more at leadinglearning.com/communitybrands.
And so with that, we can turn back to our after action review and that second aspect of the four parts, which is what actually happened.
Indeed, what did happen. So we do have some hard numbers on this to share. We like to be transparent to the extent that we can around things like that. So we got 14 vendors to agree to participate quite quickly. So that, you know, amounted to 7 demo sessions per day. And we decided to cap it there. You know, I think we realized as we had all of those flow in, just sort of what we were going to be dealing with logistically. And this was, remember, a minimum viable product. So we wanted enough for it to be valuable, but not so much that we were going to get really complicated with things. So we were pleased to get those 14 vendors and get them signed up quite quickly.
And then in terms of the attendees, we got 145 individuals to register for live review, and they represented 74 organizations. So many organizations sent multiple people to live review. And of those 145 individuals who registered, 90 of them attended one or more of the live demos. So that's a little over 62% of registrants that attended one or more live demos. And I'll note that that's higher live participation than kind of what often gets quoted as sort of the average for, you know, something like a webinar, where you tend to get about 50%. Sometimes even the figure might be a little bit lower, but kind of roughly in that 50% ballpark. So we saw live participation at live review higher on average than that, so 62%. And of those who participated in one or more live demos, on average, they went to 5 live demos. And then each demo session itself averaged about 34 unique viewers.
Yeah, and I'll note, too, that I was pleased by the level of engagement of those people in the sessions, too. Those who did attend, you know, you never know. We left, it was basically 30 minutes of demonstration followed by 15 minutes of Q&A. And of course, you never know if the questions are going to be there, if you're just going to get crickets when it comes time for questions. And we had seed questions prepared, and, you know, and to discuss that with the vendors and, you know, had a plan for that. Really didn't need it. In fact, it was hard to get to, in some cases, we could not get to all of the questions that got asked by people. So that was a sign that this is useful to at least a certain segment of people, you know, depending on where they are in their selection process. So that was good. And I'll also note, in terms of what happened, because you sometimes don't think of this, I think, with a virtual event, and I don't tend to think of it enough in advance, is it, I mean, we were really hunkered down for 2 days, you know, just each of us with a laptop in separate places. So we had different, you know, internet sources, but it can be fairly draining to sit there for, you know, 7 sessions and facilitate those 7 sessions. And we had some attendees who went to pretty near all of the sessions, if not all of them.
We did have a few. Can't remember. I think it was around 5 who actually went to all 14 demo sessions.
Kudos to those troopers there.
So that then, you know, can bring us to the third point of the after action review, which is, you know, what was the difference between what we expected and then what actually happened? And I think this is sort of an interesting question for us for this event, because we didn't actually have a lot of expectations going into live review. Again, it was this minimum viable product. We thought that it had potential. It was fairly low risk to experiment with. And so we just kind of pursued it.
Yeah. And so I think if anything, we're pleased that it basically did turn out the way we had hoped it would turn out. We'll talk a little bit about in just a minute about, you know, what we might change and what we'll continue to do. But, you know, the idea was to stand up this event with demonstrations, get people to come to it, get them to be engaged, hopefully have the vendors satisfied with the experience, which feedback so far is that they do seem to be very satisfied with the experience. So all in all, not a lot of difference between, you know, what we set out to do and what actually happened.
So then we're going to move on then to that fourth and final aspect of the after action review. It's going to be a little bit meatier than what we just did for the third section there. But that fourth section is, what should we continue to do and what should we change?
Yeah, and there's a lot that went right here, and I should backtrack and say, you know, in this case, we said the difference between the two wasn't very great. That's not always the case, because we've definitely had cases where the difference was substantial. But in this case, you know, probably because we know what we're doing now to a large extent with virtual events. We kind of know what kind of preparation is required and how to structure them. We've learned a lot over time, and that's gratifying to realize now as we're doing more and more of these. But, you know, the timing we came up with for us of 45-minute sessions, that, you know, 30 minutes of demo with 15 Q&A we talked about, that seemed right. It really had very little tension with that. We did pre-calls with the vendors, you know, partly technology check-in, but also just to make sure everybody understood what was going on, what the structure was. We tend to do that with everything. We do that with our learning technology design event as well. We spend a lot of time with the people who are going to present. That's valuable. That's something that we're going to continue doing. And I think we both agree it's a winner. So, I mean, we're going to keep doing the event, period, going forward.
And so then in terms of what should we change, you know, although we were pleased overall with the results from the event and the overall experience, there certainly is room for improvement. Again, it was that minimum viable product. We could be much more buttoned up going forward. A couple of things has to do with who participated in live review. We got to the 14 participating vendors pretty quickly, as we noted already, and that was great. But the potential downside of that it was kind of mostly the usual suspects, folks who really already understand learning businesses and what they need. And back to what you were saying, Jeff, about kind of our, you know, maybe kind of meta goal behind it, this idea of really helping people understand that there is this third sector. If we're going to use the event to help do that, then we really need to expand that pool of participating vendors in the future. And that's going to benefit those technology platforms, because they're going to come to understand and recognize this new potential audience to serve these learning businesses. And it's also going to then, of course, serve those working in learning businesses, because it's going to be there more technology options out there that are appropriate and suited to them.
Yeah. And so that was true of the vendors, you know, that it tended to be a group that had been seen before, which in no way implies that we don't appreciate those vendors showing up, because we appreciate that they have recognized the value of this sector and are serving it. But to expand that pool, and the same thing goes for the attendees. You know, our work traditionally has been very heavy in the trade and professional association. That is certainly a significant, very important segment of the third sector, but there are many other types of learning businesses out there. And, you know, one of our aims going forward is to attract some of those other types of learning businesses. And that might be, you know, folks from continuing education divisions at universities, from training companies, commercial training companies, even potentially, you know, solopreneurs. We had some platforms there, like a Thinkific, for example, that are a good fit for that group. So making sure that that we're attracting that broader base of learning business attendees.
And then, you know, I think we could do more to tie live review into our other offerings. And I'm thinking primarily of Review My LMS. We did, you know, offer this event as kind of a an initiative of Review My LMS, but we could more tightly tie them. One of the things we ended up doing, kind of adding after we had begun work on the event, was this idea of a buying guide, where we pulled together profiles of the participating platforms. And a lot of the companies also made special offers to live review attendees, which was great to try to incentivize taking some action and following up. And so we put that together into what we called a buying guide. But we're thinking that over time, we could probably enhance that buying guide, you know, go into the event knowing we're going to put it together, talk through with the companies what type of information they would want in there. And then for the platforms that are on, you know, Review My LMS, pull some of that profile data from Review My LMS and really get the live review and Review My LMS working more in tandem to provide people looking for a learning platform with kind of a fuller package of information around their technology options.
Right. And that would really help to make it part of kind of a full self-service approach to learning platform selection, which is what we're aiming for. Along those lines, probably providing a little bit more structure for the vendors going forward. We do this, for example, when we have done LMS selection consulting, platform selection consulting. When we run the demonstrations, we have a fairly tight script or set of guidelines for the vendors to follow to make sure that they're all touching on the same areas, you know, that are of importance to that client. And it's a little harder with this because we have a much more varied group of people who are going to have much more varied needs. But even identifying just a handful of things that each vendor should hit on, so there's some apples to apples going across some of the most common needs. But then, of course, you know, providing enough room for them to also be able to show what they really want to be able to show about their system.
Oh, and I think, too, we can get the buying guide and the live demos working in tandem as well, because there might be aspects of what we want all of them to hit on that could just be covered in the buying guide. You know, it could just be, you know, which version of SCORM do you support? And that could just be listed there.
Right, right. And then finally, you know, we did record all of these and the attendees get access to the recordings, which I think is also a fantastic value. We'll improve how we handle the recordings going forward. This, again, was a minimum viable product. So we put them into a showcase in Vimeo, which makes them very easy to access. We've think that access could be better, and we would be able to provide some other options with the video if we provide a better way to do that going forward, and probably integrate that into the live review site and into the Review My LMS umbrella. So we will do that going forward. But again, you know, all in all, we were pleased with how this turned out, and you know, we hope as you're listening, regardless of whether you care about live review specifically as an event, you know, we hope you will consider the idea, for example, of a virtual event as something that you might be able to do. But also, we hope you'll, you know, consider this process that we're going through, and, you know, hopefully hearing, you know, a very simple process that really does help you to learn, help you to cement what you've gained from the experiences that you've been through. We've found this extremely helpful to us, and it's something that that you can institute in your learning business. So to get show notes for this episode, as always, you'll just be able to go to the episode page on leadinglearning.com, which in this case is leadinglearning.com/episode212. And the show notes will include the reflection questions, as I just alluded to. The first of those is, you know, where in your learning business might it be valuable to establish after action review as a practice? And then second, is there an area where you might experiment with developing a low risk, high value product? And I'll point out that, you know, a virtual conference is often a much lower risk and very high value way to try out something that you may eventually want to do in a face-to-face event without signing all those contracts and taking on all those liabilities.
And when you check out the show notes for this episode, you will see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're getting value out of what you hear, Jeff and I would be truly grateful if you would subscribe, as it helps us to get some data on the impact of what we're doing.
We'd also be grateful if you take just a minute to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. go to leadinglearning.com/apple. That'll put you in the right place. And Salise and I personally appreciate your rating and review. And those reviews and ratings help the podcast show up when people search for content on leading a learning business.
We'd be grateful if you'd check out our sponsor for this quarter. Visit Community Brands at leadinglearning.com/communitybrands.
And then finally, consider following us and sharing the good word about Leading Learning. You can find us on Twitter by going to leadinglearning.com/Twitter, on Facebook at leadinglearning.com/Facebook, and on LinkedIn at, you guessed it, leadinglearning.com/LinkedIn. We also encourage you to use the hashtag #LeadingLearning on each of those channels. However you do it, please follow us and help spread the word about Leading Learning.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.